2016 just passed, death reached out and took hold of many famous people. In the world of songwriters and singers, Glenn Frey of Eagles fame was taken in death, as was Prince and George Michaels and David Bowie and many, many others. In the world of sports, death took its toll in 2016. As it reached out and grabbed hold of world famous golfer Arnold Palmer, arguably the greatest boxer of all times, the icon Muhammad Ali, ESPN's NBA announcer Greg Sager, and many others. In the world of Hollywood and in television, 2016's death toll mounted. Ron Glass, Carrie Fisher, Debbie Reynolds, Zsa Zsa Gabor, Alan Thicke, and the list goes on and on. 2016, death reached itself into the world of politics. Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, former United States Senator John Glenn, and many others. But on top of that, I want you to ask yourself, how many people that you knew personally, how many of your friends, how many of your relatives died in the year 2016? I think about how many of our own number here at Highland died in 2016. How many times last year did we assemble in this building with a body in front of us? I think about how many funerals that I conducted last year. Through the years, people for 40 years have told me, now when I die, I'd like for you to speak at my funeral. And I always tell them the same thing. I said, you have to tell your family. You can't just tell me. And at least twice a month, at least twice a month last year, I got in my car and drove somewhere to speak at somebody's funeral who over the years I had made a promise that I would go to and that I would speak. But understand that 2016, not only did death come to the rich and to the famous, but it also came to the poor and the unknown. Death not only come to those who were sickly and who we were expected to die, but in 2016, death also came to those who thought they were healthy and had no inclination of sickness until they keeled over. 2016, death came to those who were children of God, Christians, and it came to those who were not Christians. Why, when I began the year by standing here talking about what I just spoke about, if you will stop for just a moment, and if you will think about it, the reason I'm doing this is obvious. As this new year begins, every single one of us, every single day of this year, when we put our feet to the floor, it ought to register to every one of us that this day, right here, right now, may be the absolute last day I ever live. Don't you ever think that because you start a day that you're going to finish it. How many people laid their head on a pillow last night, closed their eyes to never open them again in this life? How many people woke up this morning and will not see the finish of this day? Don't you ever think that because you live today that you'll be alive tonight? There is a couple that Deborah and I have known for many, many, many years. I'd heard that he had been sick, that he was having problems with his mind and with his thinking. This is a guy who every time you see him is well-dressed. He always, always took care of himself. He was always healthy. He was always conscious about what he ate and his health and in taking care of himself. And his wife called me this past week and said he was in the hospital and asked me if I would go to Henry Ford Hospital to see him, the Henry Ford Hospital by my home. So I said, yeah. I've known this man forever. Forever. I go into the hospital and they said, well, he is in therapy now. And so I told them who I was and they said, well, you go back there in therapy where he is. It'll be fine. You can watch him. So I said, okay. So I walked into the room where he was and where the therapist was working with him, and he's in a wheelchair. And when I walked into the room and I was seated, the therapist looked at him and she says, now, do you know who this is? And he looked at me and he says, yeah, but it'll take me a minute. It's like 4 or 5 minutes. And he said, David, how you doing? And the therapist looked at me and I went, she says, you got it. You got it. And he was working
with television, with Nintendo, with bowling, where you take it and it's a hand and eye coordination deal. And it was all he could do to get this. So I took the other one from the therapist and said, him and I are going to play this. And they'd stand him up in his wheelchair, and he would do this thing, and then they'd set him back down. And they'd pick him up again, hold him, he'd do his thing, and he set him down. When we were finished, we were going to go to his room. I said, well, you know what? I'll roll him. So he says, well, let's go out into the lobby and get coffee. I said, well, we can do that. So I took him out into the lobby. And him and I sit there and talk for a while. And I said, well, I got to go. So I prayed with him out there in the lobby. And when I got through praying with him, he took me by the hand and he kissed me on the hand and started crying. And I'm thinking the whole time I'm in the hospital, who's this? Who is this? Let me tell you something about Father Time. Father Time is undefeated. Listen to me about life. Listen to me about life. Tick, tick, tick. Never stops. Never slows down. Never takes a day off. Tick, tick, tick. And it forever moves. In the book of Lamentation, and let me pause right there for a moment. The book of Lamentations is a lament. The book of Lamentations, listen to me, is a funeral song. But it's not a funeral song on the behalf of a person. The book of Lamentation is a funeral song for a city, the city of Jerusalem and its Babylonian captivity. But in the book of Lamentation, the weeping prophet Jeremiah in Lamentation chapter 3, verse 22 and 23, Jeremiah said that God's grace is new each morning. Do you know what that means? That means that every morning when we wake up, God is giving us another chance to get this right. Tick, tick, tick. That's life. And it ticks, and it ticks, and it ticks, and at some point for each of us, it stops. Let me ask you to open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. I want to read three verses. We are going to quickly scope these verses and close. Ephesians chapter 5, I'm going to read from the English Standard Version. You stay with whatever you have, it's fine. Verse 15, 16, and 17. Now let's do this. Look carefully, then, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Look how Paul starts this in verse 15. He says to look carefully. Look carefully. Let me explain something to you about that two-word phrase. There is more depth and meaning in those two words than any English translation can speak to us about. Look carefully. What Paul is saying in those two words, Paul says, what I want you to do is that I want you to discern something here. The expression is talking about the power of understanding something. The phrase look carefully means to direct your mind to a thing. Now, look at the verse. What is it that Paul wants us to discern? What is it that Paul wants us to have the power to understand? Paul, what is it that you're wanting us to direct our minds to look carefully at, to understand it, to discern it? What is it that you're wanting us to grasp here? What does he say? How to walk. How to walk. The Christian life is oftentimes described as a walk. In the book of 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, John says we are to walk in the light. As Christians, we are to live our lives in the light of God's word. Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In Psalm 1 and in verse 1, David says, do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Do not live your life as a godly person going out and getting the counsel of heathens on how you ought to live your life. Earlier in the chapter, Ephesians 5 and in verse 2, Paul says we are to walk in love as Christ walks. Brethren, listen to me. We are to discern. That is, we are to grasp the power to understand. We are to direct our minds. We are to direct our minds on how it is that God wants us to walk. That is, how it is that God wants us to live our Christian life. Now, look at the verse again. The thing that God wants us to understand, the thing that God wants us to discern, the thing that God wants me to direct my mind to in how to live the Christian life is he wants me to walk not as unwise, but wise. Not as unwise, but wise. That means that our behavior as Christians ought to be behavior that's characterized by wisdom. Now, look at verse 15. He says, wise and unwise. You see those two words, wise and unwise? Those two words in that verse are a contrast. Wise and unwise. Now, that contrast is the same as if he said saved and lost. That contrast is the same as if he had said good and evil. We are to, listen, the thing that we have to understand in our mind, the thing that we have to come to discern is that the way we ought to live as wise and not unwise. That is, we ought to live as if we are saved and not as if we are lost. We ought to live good and not evil. Why? Because tick, 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 life keeps moving here. Verse 16. Look at verse 16. Making the best use of your time. Maybe your translation says, redeem the time. The word redeem means to buy back, to purchase back. Listen, we are to make the best use of the time that God has given to us. We are to buy up this time that's called life so that we can use it as God wants us to use it. Brethren, listen to me. When we waste our time, we are living unwisely. That's what he says. Paul says, I want you to direct your thinking on how it is that you ought to live your life. And the way you ought to live your life is a way that is wise and not unwise. Well, how would I live my life with wisdom and not unwise? And Paul says, you do that by making the best use of your time. So if I, as a Christian, am wasting my time, then I am living unwisely. That's what that says in the context that it sits in. Now, let's throw out a couple of examples about getting the most out of our time. How can we use our time in a manner that's wise? First, you will use your time wisely if you will use your time to gain knowledge. To gain knowledge. Don't let a day go by that you don't gain some knowledge. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 18, Peter says we need to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you will use your time to gain knowledge of the things of God, to gain knowledge of things that are spiritual, then you are making the best use of your time. You're understanding what it is that God wants you to direct your mind to, and you're using your time wisely. Now I'm going to throw this out, and the only reason I'm throwing this out is to be helpful. Some people just don't like to read. They just don't like to read. You say, well, if I don't like to read, I read it and don't get anything out of it, what should I do? Now, this is what you should do. There is a book as old as the hills. But it's still in print. You can still buy it. And the name of the book is How to Read a Book. It's How to Read a Book. This book is ancient. And this book is fantastic. This author goes through every aspect of telling you not just how to read a book, but how to get the most out of any and every book that you read. It's fascinating. If you don't like to read, or if you don't grasp the things that you do read, it's a few bucks. It's cheap. A few bucks. How to read that book, set that book down, and then read your Bible, and you'll grasp more of it. And I'm going to tell you before you do it, you're welcome. You use your time wisely when you use it to gain knowledge. Secondly, you use your time wisely when you use it to serve others. Look, Jesus said in Mark 10 and verse 45, I have not come to be served, but to serve and to give myself a ransom for many. Look, just do something for somebody, no strings attached. We live in such a cynical world that every time somebody does something for somebody, there's got to be some kind of string connected to it. Look, just do the deed and cut the strings and go on with your life. You use your time wisely when you help somebody else get to where they want to be. Thirdly, you use your time wisely when you use your time praying. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Pray continually. James 5:16, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Fourth, you're using your time wisely when you're helping others to seek salvation. Listen, the world is filled with people who are nothing more than dead men walking. They're dead men walking. And what's sadder is that there's many in the church who are dead men walking. And like the church in Sardis in Revelation 3, verses 1 through 6, they have a name for being alive, but they are dead. Now listen to me. Listen. Look carefully. There's something here we have to discern. There's something here we have to direct our mind to. What we have to discern is that God wants us to live wise and not unwise. And one of the ways that we live wise and not unwise is to make the best use of our time. Brethren, anything that robs us of our time is unwise. Look at the end of verse 16. He says, do this, because the days are evil. Now, that expression, the days are evil, let me tell you what that expression means in the context it's in. Because the days are evil, in that context where that phrase is sitting in that passage, what that phrase means is that every single day there are opportunities that are going to come around to you that are going to encourage you to waste your time. And anything that robs us of using our time wisely is evil. That's what it means. That's what it means. I got to get in my head that I got to walk, that I have to live the way God wants me to live. I got to live as wise and not unwise. And the way I do that is by buying up my time. By taking the time that God has given me and using it to the best of my ability. Because when I'm wasting my time, I'm not using it to the best of my ability. And if I'm not using it to the best of my ability, then I'm not living wise, I'm living unwise. And I got to understand that I got to do this because the days are evil. And every day, Satan is going to throw an opportunity at me that instead of reading my Bible, I need to watch this. And instead of praying, I need to go here. And instead of doing what I ought to do, I waste my time doing something else. And when that happens, that's evil. Finally, verse 17, he says, don't be foolish. But he says, understand what the Lord's will is. The Lord's will in that passage, the Lord's will in that passage is that you live wisely. That's what the Lord's will is. The Lord's will in that passage is don't waste your time on foolishness. Are you listening? Tick, tick. Life goes on. And do you realize that there are only so many days in this new year of 2017? And in these days of 2017, here is one person who will get a week's value out of the whole year. And here is another person who will get a year's value out of 1 week. What's the difference? How they've used their time, how they've used their time. How many days do we let go by and we don't learn nothing from God's word? This whole day has gone by, I haven't learned anything. How many days do we let go by and we don't pray? We don't help somebody. How many days? You know what that is? That's living unwise. That's living unwise. That's letting the devil come into your life and taking opportunities that you could be using to live wisely, but he gets you to waste your time. And when you are wasting your time, you're using your time on things you shouldn't, rather on things you should, even if what you're doing is just something silly. You understand what I'm trying to say? It's tick, tick, tick. And it seems like about half the time my phone rings, somebody's telling me about somebody who has died. This is it. You get one shot at this. And the older you get, the more you realize, you know what? There's more of this behind me than there is in front of me. Somebody asked me the other day, are you middle-aged? I said, I hope so. That means I'm going to live to be 122. They said, what do you think about getting older? I said, concerning the alternative, I liken it pretty well. But it's tick, tick, tick. And then it ticks no more. And we assemble here, and they lay there. Use your time wisely. Make the most of it. We extend this invitation. If you need to come, do it as together we stand and as